You know what, people, when God's people praise like that, kingdom of hell has no chance. And I'm going to tell you right now, the sun outside has nothing to do with your glory, with your praise that you present to God. You know you have to have something to be able to give it? You do, don't you? You want to give money? You got to have money. You got to have some glory to give it to him. The Bible talks about we lay down our crowns. Everybody's, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to lay down my crowns. How about you lay them down now? Amen. You're allowed to have them. He said you are kings and priests. Now, when we present God the glory and we give it to him, man, things could have been so much different. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is my prayer that your lives are changing every day as you get revelation of who you are, first off, in Christ. Not what the world says you are. The world tells us all kinds of things. The world looks at us and judges us because of our size, our hair color, the skin color. Every last one of us has been judged for one reason or another. The family we came from. You can't help that, can you? You can look back, boy, I wish I could change some of that, but none of it changes. You are not who the world says you are. And as you get free, and it is my prayer, like I said, that every last one of us in here is free to understand who we are. And when we understand who we are, then we can take the kingdom. I do like the scripture that said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I have been accused of being a violent man. No. But if you really know me, you know violence is the last thing I want unless it's an absolute necessity. The only fights I've really ever been in have been to break them up. So let's just keep that in mind, that God is the one who gets all the glory for everything we ever do. When somebody says, you did a great job, say thank you. And then you don't have to in front of them. Here's my problem with that. When people do, oh, you know, it's all God. And then it is not, you're taking that all in and you're just spewing out a bunch of garbage. Say thank you. Or you can say, God has given me the ability to do that. And then when you get in your precious, precious alone time with God, say, Father, I thank you. I give this all to you. I am who I am because of you. I can do what I can do because of you. That's the only reason. Yeah, I'm back here looking at my warming up. I'm getting ready to preach, and I want to preach, and I got so many things going through my head that, yeah, y'all know, the rabbit trails just never stop. Praise God. But God is a good God. He is a just God. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. The grace that you put upon us. Lord, we thank you for it. We receive all of its power. And now, Father, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I call heaven and earth as witness that you are not a man that you should lie, but you are God. That every word you speak is truth. And you said that you would cause the windows of heaven to pour out blessings in our lives. Father, that our harvest would not go to bad in the fields. Lord God, that you'd rebuke those that come to steal from us. I thank you and praise you for all of that. And bless this tithe, Lord, and offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Yes, it is no longer a swimming pool next door. Well, this morning I thought when I was getting dressed, I told Angela, I said, you know, it's been 3 days since I've wore shoes. I don't know if I can put my foot in a shoe. I said, I think I'm going to wear my Crocs. I thought about wearing my sandals. I thought I've been threatening to do that for years. And, well, I don't think some of you have the stomach to look at purple, blue, black, green, gray, and red. All on the same foot. Yes, they did. They caught me while I was asleep. Oh, but praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, though, Angela prayed for me that night. And I think I was in the office. But Oh, yeah. We went to eat and she prayed for me. And I'm just going to tell you, folks. Oh, it broke. There's no doubt about it. It's still a little... But the fact that I can even walk as good as I can, because, you know, there's still things you have to do. God is healing my foot quicker than what it would have been otherwise. But I will tell you this, I learned a lesson. Get help picking up 3/4 inch OSB at Lowe's. It is slick. Praise God. Well, I'm going to start on again this morning, back on God's grace versus law. We're going to be in the book of Romans the rest of the day, okay, rest of this time, right now, because Paul was trying to teach a group of people about God's grace, and he did not want people understanding grace and not getting an understanding of grace, let me put it that way, because Peter was trying to teach grace through following the law. We've learned, we've looked, and we saw that you cannot live by the law. I told you last week, fathers, you remember this. Angela said, that bears repeating again. I'm going to say it again because we're going to read it again. But when we judge somebody, I found myself judging my grandfathers and my father. And I have repeated the same things they did. When we judge other people, mothers, women in here, when you judged your mother, you are going to be just like her. Okay? Good or bad. Okay? There can be good judgment. And then there can be bad judgment. Well, I don't want to ever turn out like that. And why do you think you turned out like that? Because you judged them. You are no longer able to get away from it because the Bible says, if you judge a person, the manner in which you judge them is how you'll be judged. In other words, I'm going to read this out of Romans again. It comes back on you. There are some things you have a propensity to lean towards. When you judge yourself, it's why the Bible tells us to judge ourselves, and we won't be judged. Okay? I look back at my family, and I can go back all the way to the colonial days now and find alcoholism in my family. My great-great-great-whatever grandfather, I think it's 4 greats back, was a deacon in the Presbyterian Church. He also owned the local distillery, which was not uncommon. Because the whole message of no drink at all is actually a relatively new message. Okay? You know my stand on it. You know what I teach here. We don't have to rehash that one every time. But as it came down through the line, more and more people became addicted. And so what I did is I started judging them and said I would never do that. Yeah, how many remember Fievel Mouskowitz from American Tale? Never say never. Reason you never say never is because you will do that. I will never be like that. And next thing you know, you look up and there you are. And it's like, holy moly, how did I get here? And so in the last couple weeks, we've been talking about, and I've been trying, and I still cannot tell you the freedom and joy that I have now, and a better understanding of God. I can see more of God clearly. When finally free completely. I've seen victory in areas. Doesn't mean temptation will never come back. It just means you have the victory. It means you can stand. The Bible promises it's going to come back. Jesus said, once you clean the house, after a short time, the strong man's coming back. Why? Because you evicted him. He feels that he has a right to your body. By the way, demons need bodies. I do believe that there are demonic presences that can move in buildings and they can manifest as aberrations. That is it. They can't do anything to you. They need and require a body. Why do you think the spirits, when they were being cast out of the man that Jesus cast out, the legion, they said, let us be cast into the hogs. Anybody that's ever raised hogs is aware that they're demon-possessed anyhow, from what I've heard. But they have to have a body, so they think they own you. This is where we need to understand that as children of light, we are owned by God, and we need to remember that. That when these things come back, no. I have a new habitation. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And I cannot go back to these ways. All that law and legalism does is bring in those opportunities for that to come and set a foothold in you. You want victory? You've got to stand. You've got to fight. In this country, we wanted freedom back in the 1700s, didn't we? It hadn't been nothing that was, people been stirring for years, and then finally enough people had enough stuff. And on July 4th, 1776, they signed this paper, sent it out, and they said, we're done. We're done taking your stuff. We're done with doing it your way. How about make every day? How about if you haven't even started today, make it your Independence Day of getting free from legalism. Now, I remember I was standing back here a while ago when Carter started giggling. I was holding him, if you didn't look. But I was holding him, and he just kept slapping Jason in the head and would giggle. Now, the church I grew up in, the deacon would have asked you to take that child out. Some of you have had to be in the deacon to do that. Now, let me tell you a little something. The reason Carter felt comfortable to do that, and even Gage when he's doing his little things now, is because we're learning to be like our father. We were all raised pretty much be seen and not heard, right? Anybody ever heard that? Be seen and not heard. I want people to look at you and see that you're a good child, not a child. They just want to see that you're good. How many of us know now children don't always do what we expect them to do? And if you are on your child all the time, I don't expect the kid's not even one. Why would I expect him to act like he's 13? At 13, yes, I expect you to be a little more responsible. But there's an age. They're going to do what they're going to do. That's all there is to it. Little boys, even little girls, are going to be on the floor with the truck. But if you're 13, there's a time to get in your seat, right? I always told my boys, I'll treat you like a man. I will pay you like a man if you work and act like a man. You act like a little child, that's how I'm going to treat you. We always have to understand that God is going to do the same thing to us. And when we're in his presence and we can be free, I found joy in that. Now, he got a little heavy, so I gave him back to Mama, and Mama took him for his nap. But we're supposed to be like children. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child. He didn't say become childish. Carter was free to be a little child in Grandpa's arm. Not religion. Religion would have had him in a totally another room so we can't hear him. We don't know they exist. We need to be able to focus on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves in us and makes us cry, Daddy! How can we cry daddy when we don't know daddy? How can we do this? We don't know who daddy is because religion is not daddy. Religion is the belt, the switch, the paddle, the rubber hose, the fan belt. You following me? That's what religion is. Religion is cruel. Religion does not let you reach out. Religion says, sit in the corner until I tell you to move. I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep in the corner. Oh, hey. That was a good nap. That was at school. I wasn't a bad kid. I was just full of energy. Okay? I had nobody home my age to talk to. So I needed to talk. And they just don't give you enough time to talk in elementary school. As a matter of fact, that was my first swatting, was for talking. Should have known I'd end up in talking somehow as a profession. But you see, that's all legalism does. It doesn't let us see who daddy is. Doesn't let daddy be daddy. It makes our daddy, Abba Father, cold and cruel. Somebody who's waiting for us to mess up. That's what most religious denominations hammer on. Now here's the problem with the other side. We got people over here, oh no, you just do whatever you want. Yeah, I say come as you are, but I want you to change when you go out them doors. When you come here, you're to change. That's the point. If we're not teaching the word of truth to be changed, we're not getting anywhere. And I'm not getting anywhere if I don't start using some word, huh? All right, open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. The gospel of Christ, right? Not the gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Steve, gospel according to John. It's the gospel of Christ. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just is the justified, those who have been justified. For the wrath of God is revealed from the heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Here's something the church needs to understand. God's invisible attributes are the exact sciences that we keep standing against, but yet are clearly seen because our earth is on this, well, it's been slightly modified due to some things. The same rotation axis, the same speed. Everything is in a certain spot. If we were any closer, we'd burn up. Any further out, we'd freeze to death. We would not have life on this planet. Okay? So we need to understand that his invisible attributes in everything, what causes the heart to start beating? You ain't going to find anybody who ain't blowing smoke. What does it? Why, when that sperm finds that egg, out of billions, you are one in a billion. Do you know that? You really are. You could have been somebody totally different. That one microscopic thing found this other microscopic thing in what might as well have been the entire Milky Way. It was such, the odds are against you being here. But here you are. But then when that sperm found its way into that egg and fertilized it, life began. And then so many weeks later, there's a heartbeat. And lo and behold, folks, what starts the heart? What started the heart beating? Mama didn't have nothing to do with it. It just started beating. It's an invisible attribute of God's creation. God put all of this. I believe creation is still expanding. You got to understand. I'm going to get off subject a little. God is artistic. God moves in everything. God is a scientist. God is a builder. Everything, I'm looking around in here, and all of us have different likes and dislikes, different talents. I see painters, I see poets, I see songwriters, I see people who can sing, people who can play music. I see people who are, math is just a whiz to them. I mean, it's nothing. And yet, in all of that, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how he did it. There is a teaching, I've not heard it, and I want to study it for myself because I look and I can believe it. That God sang creation into existence. Why? Because in music, you have all those arts. And in a song, you also have math. There's timing that has to go. There, everything has to. They don't just get up here and say, Katie's like, I'm going to just play whatever I want to play here. Jesse's going to play whatever he wants. And Joshua's going to play whatever beat he wants. That ain't going to work. They have to come into time. All those different abilities come into time to create the beautiful music. Our creation was just like that. God took every little attribute. I want to do this. I want this. I want that. Why do you think the person who God, the only person that we have record of that God said, this is a man after my own heart, was an artist. Y'all know what I mean. Artists are a little different, aren't they? Yeah, they are. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter if they're painters, poets, songwriters, whatever. They're always just a little bit different than everybody else. They see the world a little different. And yet God said, out of David, out of all the possibly billions of people to ever live or have lived, he's a man after my own heart. And he violated the law regularly. How could he be a man after God's own heart and violating the law? Because God's heart wasn't in the law. God never wanted the law. But God took that man, and that man wrote more of the Bible than anybody. And if I don't know how many of these of his minuets, songs, or what are psalms, are actual prophecies. There are things in there that are like, well, David wrote prophetically. Go figure. He filled the role of a prophet, a king, a father, a son, a brother, a songwriter, a musician. There's so much that we push out because, well, we just don't understand it, so we're going to teach against it. Quit teaching about the things you don't understand. I'm going to tell you what, here's a problem with the church today, a problem. There's many problems. When, after 9/11, how many ministries can you think of jumped on teaching about Islam? Islam has been around for thousands of years, and we're just now dealing with it. Oh, by the way, it ain't the first time the church has ever butted heads with them. They're not the enemy. We need to focus on the real enemy. The devil got everybody off of the real enemy. The church didn't need to know. Of course their Allah's not the same as ours. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? Their Allah is obviously different. And our God never told us to go kill people to proselytize. So all the people that came to this country or in any other country, well, if you don't want to accept Jesus Christ, we're going to kill you. They weren't Christians. Christ never said take a sword so you can kill people. He said take it so you can defend yourself. Anyhow. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they by the way, this could go for today, couldn't it? This could really go for today, with people professing to be wise. Preachers, theologians, educators of the such, they profess to be wise. They become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They started making idols. Well, that bull is our God. That eagle is our God. That's what people started doing. But today, it's not necessarily the four-legged. We have made the two-legged version. We are God. Man is God. Man is not God. When Jesus said, didn't I say you were gods? It was a little g. God means a ruler, by the way. And then when it's capitalized G-O-D, it means good. That's where we get the word God. Because the word God is not a Hebrew word. It's not a Greek word. It is our word. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Oh, goodness. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Does that not sound a lot like the political presence we have today in this country? Throughout the whole world, really, but in our world, this country. They only tell you what they want you to hear. I don't care. A politician's a politician. You know what? I would rather see businessmen run this country. As a matter of fact, you do know it was businessmen who founded this country, right? It wasn't politicians, people wanting to be king. But when we push God out of it, God turns the world over to a debased mind. We pushed God out of this country. We started pushing God out of his church. We accepted things like grace, sloppy grace, prosperity. God wants you prosperous, but not at the cost of your salvation. Understand that first and foremost. Well, I must be doing good because God is blessing my life. Look at all the things I got. How many people have took their things and went to hell? Things are not a sign that God is blessing you. Things can be a sign that you've been deceived. By the way, if you go out and you put a seed in the ground, what's going to come up? The harvest. It's a natural thing. God told Noah, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will always be. You can apply principles and still be an ungodly person. And I'm not up here bashing ministries who, in my opinion, may be harboring a little too much on blessing. Get back to right living. You want a blessed life? Live right. Live a godly life. Put those principles that they're teaching into practice. But let's focus on keeping our lives right with God. Not judging people. Not trying to live by a law that Jesus fulfilled. By two things. Loving God with all his heart, body, and soul. And loving his neighbor as himself. He fulfilled it with those two things. That's it. Because I was always like, God, how? You said you came drinking. By the way, that's when God, I was having such a hard time one morning. I was in my office and I was praying. And I was mad. I ain't going to lie. I was getting mad. I still don't condone it. But I said, God, what is the deal? And he spoke to me right away. He said, did I not say that I, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking? Well, actually, you did. But if I turn around and I abuse my wife or I abuse my children or I abuse my friends or I get somebody killed, then it's a sin to me. Therefore, I need to judge myself, as Jesus taught me, and not drink. One of the leadership principles the Marine Corps had was to know yourself and seek self-improvement. Same principle. I know I don't need to touch that. Just stay away. I need to be the example to my children. I know they're all going to have their own time to have to face it. But I hope and pray that as they've seen me walk away and stay away from it, they can do it. Now, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but also approve and practice of those who practice them. Does that not sound like what's happening in Washington? They approve of the violence. Since when do we approve of people being violent? The Constitution protects us gathering, but we are not allowed to get violent. But yet they look at it and they say, it's okay. Get violent. We want you to get violent. As a matter of fact, I heard something the other day that one of the other parties' heads has said, it's time we get physical. Do you really want to do that with the Second Amendment backers? Tell me if that sounds smart. They're creating a civil war. We as the people of God need to be smarter than this. I've been telling you for the last 8 years at least, this garbage is going to come to a head. And we as the body of Christ need to pray. We as the body of Christ need to be ahead of this thing. We need to be heading this spirit. This thing is going to come to a head. And this is what they want. They want another civil war. Because billionaires are made in war. Who is going to receive more? We need to be smart. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I don't need to pull out my gun. I'm not even carrying today. That has nothing to do with when I do carry. I don't live in fear. Because as I think, I don't know if it was Rob or who I was talking to, but I've seen the shirt that said, the gun is just a tool. I'm the weapon. We need to understand that. And greater is in he who is in me than he who is in that one holding the gun. My Bible says life and death are where? That little thing. It's in the power of your tongue. Well, what are you going to do, Pastor? I can tell his life to leave. You would get... Well, it's either that or the hollow point's going through him. One way or another. Because I can also turn around and say, now, life, come back. Did you enjoy your half a second in hell? I can promise you will have a convert that day. Anyhow, chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Remember what I told you? When you judge your father, you've judged your mother, you've judged your ancestors, you've judged your boss, you are condemned in that judgment. You partake of that judgment. For you who judge, practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, this is where we have to get to understand the goodness of God. We all want to jump in on the scripture where Paul talked about and being ready to come and punish the disobedient. I'm sorry, but I choke on that one a little bit, because in my notes down here it says Paul was asserting his apostleship to come and punish people who are disobedient. I'm not a follower of Paul, I'm a follower of Christ. And I think Paul understood that too. I don't fully get the whole what he was saying, and I don't know that Paul was really saying that. Just like God didn't put a man over top of me, he called me up. But I have lots of people wanting to be my mentor, be my whatever I go to. Well, you weren't here then, I don't need you now. And it ain't because I don't need anybody. I need my sounding board. But I have a tendency to find out that God sends me those I need when I need them. Just saying. No man is an island. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment and the revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now you remember when Jesus was talking about adultery, right? He said, if you look at a woman, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so, you know, if you go commit adultery, well, then you've committed it. But he said, I'm going to tell you something a little bit. Jesus was getting into the heart of what that law was about. If you look at a woman and in your mind you go there, you've already done it. You've already violated it. He was talking, he was trying to show us the law was actually a little deeper. Oh, we can obey the speed limit, can't we? Sure. We can all obey the speed limit. But what if your child's dying? And the ambulance can't get to you in time for you, but you can get to the hospital in time to save your child's life. Are you going to do the speed limit? I will testify, no, you ain't. And God will make sure every light will be green, just like he did for me. No cars. I didn't have to pass one person. But God made sure there was no cops. From Johnsville to Marion General. 20 minutes, folks. The ambulance couldn't have got to Johnsville, and it was around the corner. Because it had to wait for people that live out in the country to get to it. Well, I violated the law. You better believe I violated the law. But I don't drive that speed all the time because it's just not smart. And I ain't going to lie, there were a few times I'm glad my mother-in-law was in the back seat praying in tongues. I was just praying that the wheel stayed on the car. Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and of the Greek. Paul's teaching him that he's going to judge, God's going to judge the Jew first. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew and first and to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now, let me stop right there for just a moment. You're like, okay, Pastor, I just got snagged. It says I'll be justified by the law. It's not the law we're talking about. It's the law of love. The law that Jesus fulfilled, the law that snags us, that trips us up. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Let me see if I can maybe help you out a little bit here. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, but be a worker who need not be ashamed, but one who is, who can show that he knows what he's doing, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth? Well, we got to get in there. By the way, I'm going to say this again for you. Everything from Matthew to Revelation, pulled to the side, because it is all a revelation. Where he's talking about is in our Bible, Genesis. I can't think of what the last one is. Malachi, yeah, duh. It just kind of went, I just about said something with a Z, but I'm like, no. It's the Old Testament. Get in there and see what God was saying. Why did God want certain things? Why did he hammer on homosexuality and bestiality? I've told you before, folks, when we let the homosexuality be the norm, pedophiles and bestiality is coming right behind, and they are pushing it. There are groups trying to push to make that legal. This is what the Bible's talking about. In the Old Testament, they took them out and killed them. They killed the animal too. Like the animal had a choice. God wants us to see, to shun that stuff. Don't embrace it. If you're paying attention to TV, folks, they're shoving it down your throat. Coke. Look at their commercials. If you got DVR, pause it and play it in slow. Because they go, you know that one where they got all the... There are lesbians kissing in it. Every commercial now has got homosexuals in it. They are not a normal part of life. I love the people. I have family who are in that. It's a chain. It will lead to death. But in the end, I can't say it's normal. If it was normal, it would produce life. None of it produces life. So when he's talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, let me read this out of the notes in the bottom of my Bible. I read that and I was like, wow, that's right. Rightly dividing. Paul likens the word of truth to a road being built or a furrow being plowed, both of which must be straight. The good workman must be accurate and clear in his exposition of God's word, keeping to the road himself and making it easy for others to follow. The dividing of the word of God does not mean to segment it, but to rightly discern its truth by capturing the spirit of the word. Because if we're going to get technical, thou shalt not kill. Period. You don't defend yourself. You don't do nothing. You just let other people kill you. You don't raise an army to defend your people. But yet God totally backs that, because Paul says that's why we have governments. And when the government comes in to kill you, Well, in this country, I am the government. So when those few that think that they're special, which, by the way, our troops are never to turn on us. They're not supposed to go against us. So we go to the spirit of the word. That's what Jesus was trying to teach us when he said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." It wasn't just, oh, don't think about having sex with another woman. Or you don't have to, but you can look at her all you want. No, you need to back that off. Because here's what's going to happen. Eventually, you will. It may not be with her, but you've already plowed the ground. You've already planted the seed. And the Bible tells us that when sin, having come full bore, produces death, it will be the death of your marriage. That's why Jesus was teaching us that. That's why I said the law of love actually is a harder road to hoe than living by the law. We can say, well, I can live by the law. I just don't cut my beard. I just don't shave the sides of my head. I do this. I don't wear clothes with holes in them. Those of you trying to stay in style, you're out of the law. I mean, we can go. There's just so many of them. It's just ridiculous. But Paul was trying to get us to understand the spirit of the law. That's why he tried to get Timothy to teach it right. Not that Timothy needed to go in and say, well, this law is for this, this law is for that, this is what God... It had nothing to do with that. He wanted you to see the spirit of the law. See, I've been accused of being violent. That's just because I move a lot. Primarily, I think. It was not by anybody here, by the way. But in those senses, I really am a lover, not a fighter. I would rather not have to fight. I would rather that we do get along, whether we see eye to eye on something or not. It doesn't matter if you're a Ford, Chevy, or Dodge man. Who cares? I'll give you crap. But in the end, if it drives, why do I care? Well, tractors are green, tomatoes are red. Tractors are tractors. If you can get in your field and plow with it, bless God. Because it sure beat the old way. Come on, mule. I watched Little House. I saw Charles get drug across the field all the time. That looked real fun. Now we know why they only did 40 acres. It's because that's all the farmer can handle. But in the end, folks, we've got to understand that if we're going to get in the Word, we've got to get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth about it. Well, why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? Well, the reason why Israel was overthrown is because Israel turned her back on God. Israel was God's select. You need to understand that. And when you are elect, you are select. You are held to a higher standard. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing any of the other branches of the military, but I need you to understand this. That's what we're taught in Marine boot camp. We are the best of the best. That's just what we're taught. Doesn't mean we necessarily always are. But we're taught that. When we go abroad, we teach our troops, you are ambassadors of the United States. Act like it. In other words, we hold you here. Everybody else may be able to get along right here, but we are going to hold you here. Marines act different. They are different. Like I said, again, no malice towards my brothers and sisters of the other branches. It takes us all to win the battles. And then you can go even more select. You got Green Berets, you got SEALs, you got Recon, you got Marine Raiders. They take what we're taught at boot camp and they put it here. They raise the stakes. This is what God did with Israel. He said, Here's where everybody else is going to get to function at. They don't get to have bacon. You're going to be up here. Here's where I expect you to be. Because he had a lineage coming. And he needed the world to see that there was going to be no way we could live by law. Don't kill. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why? What came over him to think, I'm going to kill? Where did Cain learn this? I'm going to kill him. By the way, that's just a little sibling rivalry for you, if you think it's okay. I mean, there's, yeah, I know the smack talk. I mean, I got three sons. But in the end, we've never allowed the real stuff to fester. You're going to deal with it, or I'll deal with both of you. This juncture, I may be on the bottom of the pile, but I will be in the pile. Holding on, that's all I can do anymore. But you see, God wanted us to deal with the heart of the problem. If Cain had dealt with the heart of the problem, God warned him. He said, if you don't check this at the door, it's going to be a problem. Sin. Cain, if you don't put your temper, your anger away right now, you're going to sin. Therein is the problem with anger. It will fester. Well, you know, I could keep it under control. You cannot control anger. All it takes is for the right person to trip it. The right one. I mean, 100 people could go, but 101 comes along and boom! I used to be the volcano. I'd bottle it up. Bottle it up. That's the way I was taught. Religion, you just keep it all here. You keep it right there. And you know what happens when people bottle things up, right? They blow their top. So when I would blow, it was a mess. There was no focus. What tripped that off? I've been working on it. And I still have to work on it. But I think I'm better than I was. I'm not as good as I'm going to be, but I'm better than I was yesterday. Now, let me see if I want to stop right there. I think I do, actually, because I'm running out of time. Okay, my Bible did change. I think I am going to just stop right there. That's why the Bible can tell us. That's why Paul told James, as you were, said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We can hear the word. Well, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. That's all we hear. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. I believe God, if I need it, God will provide the food for my family. I won't have to steal it. By the way, you want to know why it's such a crime now? I was thinking yesterday as I was mowing my grass, and I was just thinking about the Bible and the way God set things up. God really looked out for people, rich and poor. He blessed the farmer. He blessed their crops. If they honored him, he would bless their crops. But they were to round off the corners of their fields. Why? To feed the poor. Let the poor also maintain a little bit of the dignity. And they went out and worked. What is it we want welfare people to do? Go out and work. Well, why should they? They get a check deposit, they get money deposited in their account every month. Their EBT card gets recharged. They don't have to do anything for it. We took their self-worth. It was always meant to help people, but what we did is we allowed it to be an anchor. It has tied them to that forever. It's easy. A good thing became a bad thing. But back in the day, God said, don't round off the, just round the corners and leave some for the poor. Don't pick every fruit off the tree. Let the poor come and pick some too. By the way, you can hunt. I mean, we're all worried about this, this, this. Well, that says no trespassing. There was no trespassing back then. None. It was God's land. Now, I get the laws. I understand why. Because we become the exact opposite. Everybody has. Well, that's why so many people aren't allowing guys to hunt on their properties, because the guys go in and they tear it up. They trash it. They cut things up that they weren't supposed to. I get it. Oh, they fall out of their own tree stand and then they sue the landowner. Yeah. Like, duh, you're the dummy that put it up. I'm trying to think of how, I don't think I've shot a deer. I've shot one deer from a stand. All the other times I was walking on the ground. I was like, all those hours I sat in that stand and I shot it walking to the stand. Go figure. But in the end, folks, God's wanting us to be more like what he wanted. Not following a list of rules. You can't shave the sides of your head. Yeah, too late. Can't trim your beard. Well, I tell you what, Rob and I were talking about these beard things this morning. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, my heritage may come from the Vikings, but somewhere along the line that beard thing skipped me. I can't grow a beard to save my life. My brother, he's Grizzly Adams. Me? No clue. Have no clue what happened. Honestly, when it's going to be 80 degrees out and 75 to 80% humidity, I'm glad I don't have a beard. I'm glad I'm not that hairy monkey that some of my family are. Telling you. We lose it up here, but from here down, it's a hair suit. Had a little extra insulation. Sad part is it starts growing in on the back, out the ears. Yeah, and the nose. We're going to pick up there. But again, I want you to understand what Paul was trying to get people to understand. It's not about legalism. But neither is it just going out and living La Vida Loca. Okay? So, put your bookmark there or mark it somewhere. And that's where we'll pick up next week. All right, let's stand. Good to see you up and about, Miss Tammy. Getting along pretty good. Those healed up quite nicely. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what your word is teaching us. Father, for what is here. Father, I pray that you now help us to all rightly divide the word of truth. Father, that we can apply the stuff into our lives, Father. We understand why you said certain things. Father, some things were meant to keep us away from it. Other things were just there to show us how futile the law really was. But Lord, in all of it, help us to always love you and to love our neighbor. Father, I thank you and praise you that in all that you are working in us. You are growing us, you are stretching us, and you are molding us into your image. Father, I thank you for these people right now. Lord, I thank you that this week as they go about their days, Father, you're going to give them opportunities to see into the lives of people they come in contact with. And that you will give them the words to say something encouraging, to lift them up. And Father, I thank you and praise you that as they do this, Father, they are strengthened in their own faith. They are encouraged in their own faith. In Jesus' name, amen.